We are glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Help! I need somebody. Help! Not just anybody. Help! You know I need someone. Help! When I was younger, so much younger than today.
Pastor Scott, I do student ministries at Redemption Church. We call it GOAL, and it's a wonderful time for children between the ages of 12 and 18, and if you are 12 to 18 and you would like to come hang out with us, we would love it. Our text today comes from 1 Corinthians 12, 27 through 28. It reads, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues." At Redemption Church, we serve a loving God. We serve a caring God. And we don't mean that God cares for us just corporately. We believe that our God cares about us individually. And we're thankful for that. This God that we serve, there are great things you can read about him in a book that some would consider old. But our God is very much alive. He's very much active in the world today. When we think about God, I can't help but underscore the fact that we serve a creative God. Our God is not boring. He gives me things that surprise me weekly, and I'm thankful for all of them. But when we think about it, I love analogies. Analogies are my favorite thing in the whole world. I like to say this is just like this, and I love parables. It's probably why I like Jesus so much, because of the fact that he spoke in parables all the time, because he wasn't talking to scribes and geniuses. He was talking to common people, and he wanted them to understand things. So I'd like to present to you a brief little analogy today. The Spirit of the Lord is our gasoline. You may have heard me say something like this before, but it's true still. The Spirit of the Lord is our gasoline. It's our power source. The Bible is our roadmap. It helps us to know where we're supposed to go. And we, all of us together, we, the church, we're the machine that carries out the good works of the Lord. We're kind of like a car. Just a little bit like a car. You know, some churches are well-oiled machines, and they might look like a Porsche, or a, if they're a little expensive, they might be a little more Lamborghini-ish. You know, some are a little rusty. Some are a little old and tried and true. Some are flashy and pretty, but there's not a whole lot under the hood. But, man, the definition of a working car is a car that moves. Is that correct? Yeah, I think we can all agree on that. We, as the church, we are a car that is moving toward our eternal goal. This eternal goal is that we are moving towards heaven. We are moving to the kingdom being recognized here on earth. We work as a group together. We're not working to earn our way into heaven, because the great thing about God is that God is not something that you can earn. You can't earn something that someone gives to you. That is a simple fact, and the truth is that Jesus Christ gave his life for us. So, if we consider that, we know that our works won't get us to heaven, because we have been given that. So we need to receive it. And we need to accept that death. We need to accept the way out that Christ has made for us. And then we need to start to move. We need to act like Christians. We need to act a little bit like a machine, right? But like I was saying, everything that we do at Redemption Church, everything we do, at Redemption Church is intended to bring people into a real and personal and functional relationship with Jesus Christ. We're cruising along and trying to be effective. We're trying to be a smooth running kind of car, right? We want everything to be nice for folks that choose to get in and take a ride with Redemption Church. But man, we want this to happen not for our glory, but for the glory of the Lord. We want everything to be excellent for our Lord. Not because it makes us look good, but we don't want to waste that fuel that we're being given. We don't want to lose track of the map. We don't want to lose focus on the Bible and then be lost and have no idea where we are. We want to serve the Lord with gladness and in spirit and in truth. So, we're like a car. Simply said, we're like a car. Do you have any idea how many functioning parts there are in a car? Anybody got a guess? 2,500? That's a pretty good guess, Dad. Pretty good guess. Over 9,000 is a good guess. A single Toyota has 30,000 parts that make up the machine. I looked it up on their website, so I know that is true. There are about 30,000 different parts performing different tasks when you turn your key. Some of them aren't performing a task really at all, except for the fact that they're there. But many of these parts in the car, many of these parts are essential to a pleasant driving experience. I drove with someone the other day that had quite possibly the little tiniest problem with their car, and it was quite literally the most annoying thing ever. When their lights are on, their brights come on. So they have to hold the switch in place while driving with their hand to keep the brights from coming on. So everyone who drives by thinks that this person was trying to alert them to police presence, or perhaps that something was wrong with their car. But everyone kind of drove weird around this person while they were trying desperately to keep their hands in that little weird way to hold it and still function on driving. And that seems a little more dangerous to me than texting. Just a little bit more. It's an awkward kind of thing. This little tiny problem was so annoying for this person. But in the way that our economy and society at large goes, it's a $500 problem to fix. This tiny little part that's neat is 100% questionable. This part costs $500. How about something called boots? I don't know if you've ever heard about this. Pastor Chris told me about boots. I didn't know about them. I'm not a car guy, by the way. This is me stretching outside of my comfort zone. I know that I break cars, and then they get fixed. Boots' entire function is to cover another part and lock in a tiny bit of oil to keep that part lubricated. That's all. Boots. There are flashier parts to cars, right? Some things that you could buy custom and spend a lot of money on. You can have your spoilers, some really cool ones that look like sail fins, that sort of thing. You have exhausts. Some exhausts you can get can rattle the windows at my apartment late at night when you drive through. That's a possible thing. You know, there are these flashy things, and they're cool to look at, and they add value, and they add a certain aesthetic to the vehicle, but they're not necessarily essential. Now, if you remember last week when I did my offering meditation, I'll tell you about a car part that is essential. Serpentine belts. All right. Here I am driving on the way to church, and I heard a bang, and my car politely stopped driving. Didn't set on fire. There was smoke. I was a little nervous. But it just stopped driving. So I pulled over to the left side of the road because I'm a genius. The tow truck helped me get it home. There wasn't a whole lot of drama or fanfare in this situation. It just stopped working because that's a belt. If we're a machine, if the church is like a car, there are many different parts to the local church. In this same way, there are a lot of different spiritual giftings. If we look at our Bible verse today, if we look at our text in the New International Version, it says, "And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, variety of tongues." There's a lot going on there. For one verse in the Bible, I mean, we have verses in the Bible like Jesus wept, and there was a lot going on behind the scenes there, but that's a nice long verbose thing that tells us about all kinds of ministries that are active and expected to be active in local churches. Some of them sound very glamorous and important, correct? Can we agree with that? I think so. Apostle is a huge word. If someone calls you an apostle, you start to question whether you deserve to be called an apostle. Apostle, the actual definition of it, is someone who's sent by God to preach and teach the gospel and initiate moral reforms. That's a big responsibility. If you're an apostle, you got a big job. They should make a special hat for you to wear. I don't think they have one yet. We should invent it. That's incredibly important to the kingdom. Now, the second thing it talks about are prophets, and we all probably have a very serious story about prophetic ministry, and we probably all have a kind of funny story about prophetic ministry. Sean Enfield said to me before church, if you've been in church long enough, you probably have at least a couple funny ones. But, man, people hear from God, and they convey that message to his people. Real prophets don't come at you constantly telling you good things. They don't come buttering you up. Real prophets will tell you your business. Real prophets will have read your mail because the Lord has given them insights. And then they won't want you to, like, give them money or anything like that. They're not out to get something from you. They're just delivering the message the Lord has given them. I know somebody who's like that, and I know when that person has a word for me that's not good, that they agonize over telling me that. But it's always what I need to hear because medicine is good. Man, these folks are very, very important. And even prophets seem powerful, right? Somebody walks into a church and says they're a prophet. They got somebody laying down palm branches in front of them a lot of times. It's a very exciting thing. That's pretty flashy. Then we have our teachers. That's the next thing listed. These are folks charged with helping the moral lessons and spiritual maxims of Christianity stick to the followers. Let's flesh it out a little bit. I'm holding a microphone in my hand. That's kind of an important job. There are many of folks right here that if they were to hold this same microphone in their hand, they might freeze up because of stage fright and they might be kind of nervous. Even if they wanted to say something, it might be hard for them to do so. There are some people who are like, I'm not called to that. I do not want that. Right? But it's important. It's important to teach. And speaking ministry in a church is intensely important, but, you know, sometimes it gets a little bit glamorized. Just because I can put together a coherent thought and deliver it on stage into a microphone doesn't make my prayers count more than yours. I'm going to say that right now because there are some churches that are about our size where the pastor uses this to take this, and we're not about that here at Redemption Church. Your prayers count just as mine. When people ask me to pray for people, they're like, oh, I heard you're a pastor and I'd like you to pray for me. I'm intensely flattered but immediately awkward. I'm like, what am I supposed to do with that? But I pray for them and I try to make it sound pretty. But man, your prayers are just as important as anybody who holds this microphone. And that's where the crux of my sermon comes from today, is because of the fact that I'm looking to preach some people happy today. Next up are miracles and healings. We believe that we will see miracles, and we have seen healings in Redemption Church. We have folks that have been cured from cancer. We have folks who have been cured from epilepsy. We have folks that have been cured from hard hearts. And that sounds like a marginalization, but sometimes that's even harder to do than big medical things, to get people to change their opinions on things. So the next thing we have listed in this big, long list of all these important ministries is helps. All right, well, next would be administrations, and administrations are important to make things run smoothly administrations allow the vision of the church to be carried out through all the ministries. And finally, the last thing is varieties of tongues. Varieties of tongues. The Holy Spirit connecting to the hearts of men and women in a church and blessing them, praying things that they don't even know what they're praying. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7 says, we'll tie this up with a bow here. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. There is a whole lot of glamour and importance in our text today. Of the ministries listed, many of them are considered paid positions in churches. In the right church, a very well-paid job. Very well-paid. And some people think that they guarantee you an even more prestigious position in the kingdom of God. But there's one little thing on that list that seems to kind of slip through. One little thing that is a little bit inauspicious on the list, but is very important. It just says, helps. Helps? There is a ministry of helps. I believe that this is not only an anointed ministry in the church, but as important as all of the others. The helps ministry is a serpentine belt ministry. Not like a belt in your pants. I mean, although I guess that would make sense, because if you're belt in your pants, why don't your pants be awkward? But the belt in your car. The serpentine belt goes, and your trip ends, just like that. Not always in a spectacular and fiery way, but in a very definite way. God has set certain ministries in the church to fulfill one primary function: to serve in a supportive role. Helps were instituted by God to do just that. Helps is a supportive ministry. 1 Corinthians 12, 11 says, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." Let's flesh out this whole helps thing. Let's figure it out. If you want to look up a word in the Bible, there is a gigantic book called Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. I mean, it's enormous. It's like this big. It's a good place to go when you're trying to figure out the original language meaning of a word. And it could also be useful as a weapon, because it is a very, very big book. The word translated helps used in 1 Corinthians 12:28 is the word antilepsis, meaning relief, according to Strong's. It comes from a root word, and I'm going to say this, anti-lambanomai, meaning also to participate, and is translated as help, partaker, and support in the King James Version. Helps is therefore a ministry of lending support and relief. Notice that the thought of participation is integral to the root word of this word, antilepsis. Helps is a participating in the support of the ministry kind of ministry. Helps is a participating in the support of a ministry kind of ministry. Okay? So we see this helps ministry as a supportive ministry. And if you're just a little bit, if you got a little bit low self-esteem, or you don't really hold yourself as the highest cat in the room, you might be tempted to assert that this is a subordinate or less important ministry. This is a subordinate or less important calling. But I would contend not today. The ministry of helps is a distinct ministry, and what you should take from this is not the fact that it doesn't have a giant glamorous byline, but the fact that it is listed with all of these huge things. It's listed right there with all these distinct ministries in 1 Corinthians 12:28. And we have to recognize that this is a uniquely anointed and appointed ministry. The ministry of helps is just as important to God as the ministry of pastor. That is a volatile thing to say in a microphone. The ministry of helps is as vital to the church as the ministry of pastor. Let me explain myself. A pastor is called to lead a church, right? And in that way, the pastor is in a leadership position over the body. A helps minister is appointed by God to support the ministries of the church. That doesn't mean it's a lesser calling. This calling is just as inspired or important. And often, the people who are a part of the helps ministry are the unsung heroes of the church. Pastors can't do without helps ministers. If we take this Greek definition literally and we look at it all the way out, it could even mean helping people who should be helped from the Bible definitions. In other words, if you're helping anyone in the church or helping the weak and needy, Jeremy and I talked about that last week, helping the weak and needy, you're operating in the ministry of helps, a gift set in the church by God. This is a ministry just as valid, just as anointed, as if God had asked you to be a prophet. A lot of people think if God comes and talks to you in a burning bush, that that's more important, right? But if God is calling you to help, and you feel that as a calling, it's not just because of the fact that me and Chris are like, hey, go pick up some fake plants and put them in the trash. If you feel like God is calling you to help, man, go on and shine, you crazy diamond. Figure that out. Do that for the Lord. That's not in my notes. This is a ministry that is valid. God, it says straight up in the Bible, God is not a respecter of persons, and neither should we be. Praise God for men and women who have been and will be faithful in holding up the ministries of other people. Amen. Some may feel, if you're a little bit cynical like I also am, some may feel like this sounds a little too good to be true. Sounds kind of like sort of a scam. Or at the very least, a newly created ministry that is not a biblical doctrine. We must see that this is a God-ordained ministry listed with many seemingly more spectacular ministries in our text today. Right there in the Word of God, it says, helps. No man made it up. No committee put it in church bylaws so that that way they were like, yes, now we don't have to do anything. No, it's there. It's right there, clear as crystal. It's an excellent, excellent definition. Because in the Weymouth translation, it's translated as rendering loving service. Operating in the ministry of helps is indeed rendering that loving service to your church, to your pastor or pastors, to the world around you, and ultimately and most important, and I mean this, most important, to the Lord. So now that we're looking straight on at helps ministry, now that we have a very clear definition of how things are here, we know that the ministry of helps is real and that it's important biblically, we can discuss it a little bit practically. Churches need the helps ministry operating more now than ever. When you turn on TV today, what do you see represented the most often from churches? Preachers, big rich pastors, right? Getting kicked off jets, bouncing checks, crazy things. We see pastors represented everywhere, right? We see pastors represented all over the place, and more pastors are taking the lead in the church than since the early days of this century. But I would say that God is moving through the local church. We need to get back to the Word of God and let pastors function the way they're supposed to. We had a really cool guy having lunch over at Poncho's before church, and he wandered over and he wanted to hang out and listen to music. That's all he wanted to do. He wanted to see what's up. He thought about sticking around afterwards to see how we went. I wanted to talk to Rick about guitars. We had this guy come, and I was trying to get things done and trying to get things ready for church, and I needed some helps, all right? And thank God we had Ron ready to help and make sure that Jerry was taken care of. You see, pastors are a gift from God, and they're spokespeople for Jesus. They need to be free to operate as spokesmen for the Lord. The helps ministry literally frees the pastor to focus on his scripturally defined responsibilities. We see this played out perfectly in Acts 6:3-4. It says, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom." I'm going to read it off here because of the fact that it's in NIV. "Brothers, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." These seven men appointed here were appointed essentially as helps ministers, or what 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 refers to as deacons. Their primary duty was simply to take care of the menial task of seeing to it that the widows were fed. However, this seemingly small thing relieved the other ministers to devote themselves to study and ministry of the word and prayer. People called to the ministry of helps have basically the exact same burden and vision for sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ as the minister or speaker. They just work it out through their gifts and talents to empower the people up front. They include a great variety of behind-the-scenes type of folks. Maintenance personnel, which if we have a flood, everybody's maintenance personnel, just saying. Maintenance personnel, sound men, secretaries, administrative personnel, counselors, bookkeepers, greeters, ushers, nursery workers, the advisory board, other things like this. These supported functions help the pastor to carry out the overall vision of the ministry, especially the ministry of the Word of God to the people. If the pastor is freed to function in this capacity without becoming bogged down with all the other cares of the church's function, he'll be a channel through who the Holy Spirit can do his work in these days. For this to happen, the pastor needs, put parentheses around it, underline it, bold it, whatever you want to do, needs men and women serving in the area of helps. These men and women, they need to flow in the supernatural anointing of God and be sensitive to the Spirit of God, who will all be speaking the same thing. Because if the helps minister is supporting the pastor, they have the same vision. They're on the same page. They're just doing things together. And they're sensitive to that Spirit of God. And in that way, they'll be walking in unity and love toward one another and toward the body of Christ as well. We see then that pastors should be supported and the pastor's local vision for the church aided by the helps ministry. I say all of this, I say everything that I've said today, to declare once and for all that Redemption Church loves the people that participate in the ministry of helps around here. Your contribution, I'll clap for you. Fantastic. Your contribution of unclogging the toilet may not be as glamorous as speaking into a microphone or visible as Rick destroying a guitar, but that doesn't remove the status that you are a rock star. The gifts, the talents, and the energy that you give to the Lord through Redemption Church and your personal ministry to the weak and poor should never be overlooked. Shouldn't even make light of it. I really mean this. I feel like I'm preaching to some people that show up to help with things and don't understand their worth. I feel like I'm speaking to some people who show up to help with things and they don't understand their significance. If you are laboring for the Lord, then it is blessed and you should be honored. You are making a difference. You are doing something significant. If you fill communion cups so that Marshall can put a bow on the end of his sermon and doesn't have to sit there going, well, he's already shaking because he's nervous, then that is the ministry of helps. If you spray the crickets out of the baptismal, I'm going to get real with you because I do all the ministry of helps things. If you spray the crickets out of the baptismal so we don't have poor Angie Zimmerman screaming when she goes under, man, that is ministry of helps kind of stuff. If you run and get batteries so this microphone doesn't die, God bless you. Really. If you are doing anything to help further the kingdom of the Lord, you are a significant and contributing member of it. And we're beyond blessed to have you partnering with us. If you're helping around here, this is another real quick aside, please do it for the Lord. If you help at Redemption Church, do it for the Lord. Not because somebody with a beard that's somewhat imposing asked you to do it. Not because Chris bought you a fuzzy taco one time and you're like, well, if Chris bought me a fuzzy taco, I guess I have to roll up the entire snake, all 100 feet of it. That's a funny joke that if you stick around after church, you will get. So, no, we want you to do it for the Lord, not for me. When you serve the Lord, do it with gladness and allow that gladness to be an offering given to him. I feel like this is really important because, man, Tag Youth Group has helped so many people over so many years. It's called Goal Now. Thank you, William. It's called Goal Now, but it has helped so many people. a friend of mine was nearly about to get divorced due to the place where they were living, and people that had absolutely no connection to them showed up and helped them move to prevent their marital problems. Yeah. Really, lots of people have moved that the Youth Ministry of Redemption Church has been involved with. They've staffed NeighborNet events and CARES events before that. These folks, they've always done these good things. And I know I make jokes and I'm relatively pleasant to be around. But man, I hope that when you do those things, you do them for the Lord. Because any amount of enjoyment that I have from doing things with you and working alongside you, helping Bhutan refugees make food, anything that I gain from that is nothing compared to what you're sending up to heaven. And so if there's any kind of misconception that pushing a broom at Redemption Church is a favor to Pastor Chris or Pastor Scott, Pastor Marshall, or Pastor Robert, or Ron, or anybody, I want you to know that what you do here, you do for the Lord. No matter how insignificant it looks, because that's what we're doing. I'm not coming up here and fooling around, putting out signs and filling bowls of mints and things like that because of the fact that I'm punching a clock. I'm doing that because I'm doing it for the Lord. And that's why the Lord has a blank check for me and it doesn't end because of the fact that I give him what I got. And so as much as I tried to sing my voice out at Goal Youth last night so I wouldn't have to preach today, I still have voice, and so I give it to him. So I think there's some people in here that have been given an awful lot to God. I think we have a lot of people here that can be honored. I almost don't even feel like I need to say it from the pulpit because of the fact that I just say everybody in this room one at a time and talk about how great you are, and that would be awkward for some of you on the internet. But man, there are some people I went to before church today, and I reached my hand out to you, and I said, hey, this lesson's for you. It really is for you. The Lord is thankful for the work that you've done. Amen. Not because you need to pay him back and work your way to heaven. Not because of the fact that somebody in a cool shirt told you to. But because of the fact that you're serving him with gladness. Yeah. So, we are going to end service in a really different sort of way. It might be a little awkward, but I really want you to come with me on this. We're not going to keep the camera on. Ron, you can turn the camera off right now. Go for it. We're not going to worry about visuals or lights. We don't need a musician. No musician coming up. I want all of us together to worship the Lord corporately in this altar. We do three things when we come to Redemption Church. I always laugh at that because it feels like I do 30,000 car parts worth of things when I come to Redemption Church. But we do three things when we come to Redemption Church. The third thing is we all come to the altar and talk to God. If you have been a participant in any of the ministry opportunities that we've given you around here, and it has felt like an incredible burden and not a gift from God, I want you to come into this altar and I want you to repent of that. If you feel like that's weird or you feel like that's kind of harsh of me to say, don't worry, I'm going to be the first one doing it. You'll hear me repenting louder than any of you. Because I get tired, man. I get tired. But we are going to come and we are going to worship the Lord.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at www.redemption-church.com and be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.